Oh, good evening. I have a new face tonight. You've been here before?
I came with Brigitte when you invited us for the Wednesday class. I'm back tonight.
Welcome. And Giroux, welcome. Very nice to see you. Do introductions around?
I'm Marie.
Kim.
Jeffrey.
Jeff.
Dawn.
Giroux.
Matthew.
Karen.
Connie.
Wendy.
Isayo.
And Angie. Karen, it's nice to see you again.
So good to be back.
We missed you.
I missed you, sincere people. Very much.
Well, I was gifted with another copy of this book. Thank you very much. It's wonderful to have it back, Jim.
Did you write your name in it?
I did. And my telephone number. Somewhere there's a little book with a lot of underlining in it. I started underlining already on number 34. Don't transfer the ox's load to the cow. So what we're doing is taking these slogans one by one, ancient Tibetan tradition. That's Chogyam Trungpa's word for these suggestions, I would say, of how to develop, cultivate, he says, loving kindness. And so many of the images are straight out of ancient Tibetan life and tradition, which makes it interesting. But the basis of it is really just how to be with others, how to understand the dilemma and the challenge and the mystery of self and other. And how to cultivate what's called in Vipassana practice loving kindness or metta, and what we call in Zen usually call it loving kindness too, actually, mostly. It's the other side of wisdom. Wisdom is what brings us to the other side of compassion, and compassion brings us to the other side of wisdom. You really can't operate without both of them working together. And usually we don't even notice. But if we begin to practice, that becomes the subject. Eventually, we find ourselves down to the nitty-gritty of how to be with others and how to avoid getting into trouble, our own suffering, and acknowledging and accepting that other people are suffering also, and that we have a kind of charge in our life to be with others in a way that opens us and so-called them into a common space, where there is no us and them. It's just all of us together doing our best making mistake after mistake. So what we've been doing is taking a slogan a week and working our way through the week in terms of these, one by one. The one before was don't make everything so painful. Just recognize that it's not so necessary. We tend to go into a negative space when things get a little rough. And the slogan is to notice that and offer ourselves the opportunity not to go there. There's so much that we are doing just on automatic that we don't have to do. But unless we're awake to how it is with us, we just blunder our way through in a way that's not necessary. So this one with the cow and the ox. Is that the ox can carry things that the cow can't. The cow is not as strong as the ox. Actually, in the original, it's a couple of Tibetan animals that it refers to, but Chogyam just turned it into something we could recognize. So it's about dealing with others without making things worse. You can get into a tangle, and we have a choice. We can even make it just pursue it to its very bitter end, or find a way out, a generous way out. And perhaps you could say that generosity is the basis of these practices. To allow ourselves the benefit of the doubt and others the benefit of the doubt. A kind of loose mind, a loving mind. So that was the charge for the week. And so now the charge is to share whatever experience we have had during the week in terms of loading our troubles on somebody who isn't in a position to carry it very well. So I hope you all have kept that in mind and discovered some aspects of that that you could share. And if you weren't practicing it all week, that's fine. But you might call up something that happened anyway.
I guess I'm not sure in that slogan what it means to transfer to someone who's weaker. So does that mean that it's okay to transfer it if it's someone stronger? You know, I don't get the judgment that's supposed to be in there.
Well, yeah, weak or strong is a good way of thinking about it. It's like asking too much of a child.
Mm.
Some people raise their children with very high aspirations for them and just ask way too much of them. Some people in relationship don't appreciate the state that their partner is in and simply relates to them without noticing when it's too much. If things are too much between us sometimes, things that we really, and sometimes we allow ourselves to suffer under the weight of what we're put on, under. And sometimes we put people under too much stress, too much expectation, too much allowing ourselves to be ignorant of their state and not attending to what's really needed in the other.
So I guess I think of it more as I can think of more examples where the other person hasn't been able to bear some load that's sort of like expected in mm-hmm. the situation, and you say, well, I can carry that, you know, for a while. I mean, not going to do it forever, but, you know, you're having trouble right now, and so we're part of the team, or we're part of all trying to make this happen, and so I can take that for a while, and then there'll be a time when, you know, you can take it. So that, to me, seems, that sort of give and take is more what I see than, you know, what we were talking about before. So.
Yeah. You said the ox is capable of carrying burdens. The cow is less capable. So the point of this slogan is that you do not transfer your heavy load to someone who is weaker than you. It's not wanting to deal with anything on your own. Transferring the ox's load to the cow means not wanting to deal with anything on your own. You don't want to take any responsibility. You want somebody else to do it instead. And he says, if there were no you to initiate situations, there would not be any problem at all. But since you exist, therefore, also, there are problems. So it really boils down to the essence of the you and the me.
Angie?
Yeah.
I listened to your recording, so I caught up, but only a couple of days ago, so I haven't practiced very much. But when I listened to this, I thought of the word projection. Is that kind of what it means? Like, mm-hmm. The idea is that you're not being aware of your own issue.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of leaking out in an unconscious way on whoever you're relating with, sort of projecting your, is that the right?
Yeah, to load it onto somebody else. Yeah. It is a projection. Anything that we assume about others is a projection, which is why it's so important to open ourselves with deep curiosity of not knowing and wanting to know more. You know, tell me about yourself rather than making assumptions. Mm-hmm. Paul?
It's sort of like my wife asks me, what do I want for dinner? And I say, you choose. Mm-hmm. I don't want to choose. And I do that 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. And she gets me. You should be choosing. Let's just throw it all on me. But that's what I do.
That's it?
I don't do that often. Because I can get it. But
You get in trouble.
I get in trouble. But on occasion, I'll do that. I'll say, I'll eat whatever you make. That's not the answer I want.
Well, that's it. You know, that's the load. Somebody has to make a decision. And it is a load sometimes.
If I come home from work and I've made 1,000 decisions during the day.
Right.
One more. No, I'm not interested. Don't want to play.
Yeah.
Of course, she doesn't hit me. I'm just making.
You're not all black and blue.
No.
No, I'm glad to hear it. Tim?
At work, I was given a project that's pretty pointless. It happens in the corporate environment. You have to add value to what you're doing, which isn't really adding anything at all. I found myself almost making that someone else's problem. Just really, it's a PowerPoint about statistics and quality control, but I can't really go in depth with any math. I'm constrained, but I'm expected to deliver something that adds value. So, really kind of tough not making that someone else's problem. I managed to do it, but I found myself really in emotional turmoil about a 15-slide PowerPoint. It was really rather ridiculous. That was my experience with not putting the load on the cow.
So you were the cow?
I was the ox.
You were the ox.
I was looking for people to.
I see.
Can you like to my boss? I would almost ask him, could I just not do this? I mean, no one really cares, right?
But you did it.
I did it. Yeah, it's there. It's got no math. And it explains quality control with no statistics. I did it.
Congratulations.
That's all. That's all there is to it.
There are a lot of useless things like that that we end up doing. Yeah, for the sake of something else or someone else. Sometimes we have to. And I guess this slogan gets us to think about that a bit and weigh whether we're the ox or the cow. Yeah.
My understanding of it was that we were always the ox. Who better could bear our burdens than us?
Yes.
So obviously we're the ox.
Yes.
And you shouldn't make anyone else the cow, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, that's just how it's thought. Yeah.
Precisely. Yeah.
Look for another box.
It seems in relationships and especially close friends, it would be nice to know, at least with my friends, that when they're having a hard time that they can come to me, or the other way around. Mm-hmm. And having no ox and cattle, kind of like, what is it that said, that you can share without feeling like you need to carry the burden. I just want somebody to hear me out. And sometimes when we come from that place, hopefully we kind of solve our own issues. Or maybe stating that at the beginning, so you have that understanding that I'm not looking for somebody to take my load.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do that. We provide the space for each other to. Nobody can carry our load. For real. I mean, it's like nobody can die our death. It's only us. But we can certainly work together side by side. I don't think we meld or merge, but we help just by being present for each other. Yeah. And that's real friendship.
Wonder what he says about when you can't hear, if you're in a bad place and somebody's talking to you and you can't hear it anymore.
Yeah.
But you're thinking too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know how you transfer the load back.
Keep shifting and changing back and forth. Yeah. Well, the one for next week is a very interesting one. It's don't try to be the fastest. Don't be the fast one. That's one of my special issues that I think about a lot in this world that we find ourselves in, that is so incredibly speeded up. And what it does to us to be so fast. This one is really aimed from the way the Chogyam's commentary is aimed at monastic practice, I think, because it's all about comparing one's practice with other people. You know, I've done more prostrations than she has, and I'm, you know, holier than that person, and I've done all these wonderful things. It's spiritual materialism writ large. And I don't think in our situation that we do that so much. We don't have any way of comparing our spiritual practice with each other. Kind of ludicrous to think of it in the terms of the way that we live our ordinary life every day and do our practice at home as well as together. There isn't any better or worse. So I think that we don't make a game of our practice so much, and that's how he addresses this. But I think as far as our life in the world is concerned, that speed is a very big deal. And that the more speeded up we are, the more difficult it is to practice at all, and the more painful our life becomes. And the harder it is to connect. And if our aim is connection and loving kindness, there often is no room for it because we're in such a hurry. So I think in that sense that this is a very essential part of this training of cultivating loving kindness. And so if we look at it from that point of view, then it's he calls it a fixation on perfection, and I don't think that's such a problem for us. But we do have a tendency to be way too fast. So I would suggest, I'm always suggesting that we lead our life in the slow lane, and that we notice when we're being over speeded up, and find a way to have more time and space for our life, which means for not just our practice, but to practice in life with time and space as a part of our life, without destroying the essence of our life, which is very slow. In fact, it's momentary. In fact, it's just this. The other aspect of this is that he talks about it in terms not only of practice but of hierarchy. I have been practicing longer than somebody else has been practicing, and so that makes me a better person or a better Zen person or in terms of what we do in Zen is little ceremonies that can easily be turned into a sort of hierarchical life of comparison. I have a yellow robe and she has a purple robe, and she has a pink raksu, and those can all be turned into ways of measuring oneself against somebody else. And that's pointless and very natural. We do it with everything, really. Unless we pay close attention, we often shore ourselves up by comparing ourselves and finding ourselves better in some way. Sometimes we're better because we're worse. That's a real insidious one. But in any case, that kind of measurement, I think, is part of this speeded up thing, too. There has to be some way of giving ourselves stability and rushing around and comparing ourselves as one way of doing that. So best to just step off and see what happens. And slow down. Taste the air. So see how that develops over the week. That's our assignment. And enjoy it. See what comes up. Any questions? Gerald?
I probably won't be here next week, and this memory comes to me that when I was about 5 or 6. We were driving, my family, we were driving to my grandparents across the big bridge across the Los Angeles River, actually, and There was, this was like 46 or 47, just after the war, and there was a Rolls Royce that we sort of passed as we were crossing this bridge. And I was amazed because I had just heard about Rolls Royces and what fabulous automobiles they are. So, and I was wondering, why is this car going so slowly? Because even we, in our ordinary car, we went past it fairly quickly. I thought about that for a moment. At some point it came to me, well, they've already arrived. They don't have anywhere to go. And somehow that comes back to me again and again, and it's, you know, it's so sort of capitalist or something, but it still has some kind of interesting, you know, teaching for me.
It's so amazing. Thank you. You got that at the age of 6. Yep.
The Rolls Royce that did it.
The Rolls Royce. Well, just remember, we're all in a Rolls Royce, right? We've arrived.
I hear Volkswagen buses and hippies in the school.
Well, it's 8:00. Are there announcements? The website is working. I mean, is at in the works.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting to look more real. So keep posted, because it's coming along.
Mm-hmm. And I guess if people have anything, if they have pictures or anything, send them.
Oh, for sure. Pictures, poems, remembrances, it's all open at this point. And I think it'll be really nice. Wendy and Marie and Isayo are doing it all together. And it's a labor, but it's going to be beautiful.
I'm sorry, could you amplify what you're saying? I don't know what you're talking about.
The website.
The website, thank you.
Floating Zendo website.
We're remodeling.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Well, let's do a 1-minute sit.